I want us to turn once again to the portion of Scripture in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. What to do when you don't know what to do? I once saw an advertisement about a restaurant or an eating place, and it was called this, Wits End. And in that advertisement, this restaurant called Wits End, it was advertised as the place to be. And yet I'm sure this morning as we gather in this service, all of us have found ourselves at some time in our lives at our wit's end. And I don't think any of us would say it's the place to be. We would rather be any place other than being there. And I've never heard anyone say, "Preacher, I wish I could be at my wit's end." Unfortunately, we've all been in that place. And we often feel like the man who said that the light at the end of the tunnel turned out to be the lights of an approaching train. And trouble was on its way. So what do you and I as believers today, what do we do when we're at wit's end? What do we do when we just don't know where to go or what to do? In this story before us in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we find Jehoshaphat is in that very place in his life. Jehoshaphat is facing something that he's not faced. And he really, the cry of his heart is, "I do not know what to do." I want you to notice firstly with me this morning, I want you to notice here in this chapter 20, the multitude that was alarming. The multitude that was alarming. You see, the story here revolves around Jehoshaphat and the problem he was facing in his life. When I thought of this message and I thought of that dear sister all that time ago, and I began to consider this message, I thought Jehoshaphat is like so many of God's people today. So many of us find us that we have problems in our life, disturbing and distressful things that bring us to that place where we know not what to do. Two things I want you to notice first of all about this multitude that was alarming Jehoshaphat. I want you to notice the problem here that Jehoshaphat encountered. We need to see the problem. Often when God's people are in distress or despair and there's tears in their eyes and there's troubles, there's a source. And here's the trouble in verses 1 and 2, and we've already read them. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, and with other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. So there's army and armies that are coming against Jehoshaphat. If you read the history, you will find that Moab had an old grudge against Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat had gone up against Moab, and now Moab, they're taking revenge. And Moab is taking revenge by strengthening his armies. He's making an alliance with the Ammonites, verse 1, and other nations. And these armies are combined together, and there's one thing on their mind. That's the humiliation and the destruction of Jehoshaphat and Judah. Jehoshaphat found himself with a huge problem. Multitudes alarming. The army's coming against him. That's the problem. But I want you to notice secondly about this alarming multitude. You'll notice that Jehoshaphat, you'll find the perplexity that he expressed. In other words, he expresses his bewilderment. He acknowledges the problem. Look at verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared. Often you'll find that God's people think, "Oh, well, I shouldn't be afraid. I should be superhuman. I should be automatically smiling and rising above my problem." He was filled with heart, with a heart of fear and terror. I remember as a boy, we used to sing, "Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Wolf?" The big bad wolf, the big bad wolf. And you know, here, Jehoshaphat's the one's afraid. And Moab and its allies are the big bad wolf. Verse 12, look at verse 12. You'll find that Jehoshaphat knew he was in trouble. He cries, "O God, wilt thou not judge them?" And then those words that are the center of our text this morning, "Neither know we what to do." Is it today, my friend, in this service that you don't know how to stop or solve what's happening in your life? You can't flee it, you can't forget it, and you've no idea how to face it. It's one of those situations, not knowing what to do. The picture here is of times in our lives, your life, my life, when we face situations that fill us with fear and anxiety. You say, "But preacher, Jehoshaphat's facing armies. I'll never face the armies. 1, 2, 3 armies. I'll never face that. Surely this is not a picture of me." Maybe it's a physical situation this morning that's bringing terror to your heart. Something suspicious about an X-ray. The doctor's report's alarming. You're battling some disease or sickness, and you're really fearful of the outcome. Is that the multitude that's alarming you today? Is that the problem that you're encountering? You say, "No, preacher, it's not physical. Maybe it's financial. There's more month than there is money." You're on the verge of losing everything, and circumstances have put you between a rock and a hard place. Is it parental this morning? Maybe the son or daughter, the pride of your life, has turned their back on you and all that you've taught them about God and His Word and about living and about life. And that son or daughter has wandered far away. Maybe there's a son in here today and your mother and father pray for you. You're in the things of the world, and to your mother and father, this is the problem. Maybe it's marital. Maybe you're here today and you thought that marriage would last forever. But as you sit in this meeting, you know that it's falling apart. I can hear someone say, "But no, it's not the physical, it's not the disease, it's not the X-ray, it's not financial, it's not parental, it's not marital. Maybe it's emotional today." And you say, "Preacher, I feel if one more thing happens in my life, I'll snap. Everything's coming down upon me, and it's harder and harder for me to handle life." In those situations, my friend, we've all been there when we're at our wit's end. You see, the problems we face in life, and like Jehoshaphat, there are times when we really listen, don't know what to do, and behind the smiling face, there's heartache. Now, as we further move on in the story, this account in Scripture, we not only notice the multitude that was alarming, but I want you to notice the message that was assuring. The message that was assuring. You see, it was at this needful hour in Jehoshaphat's life, a time when he needed to know, "What am I going to do?" Isn't it good, my friends, today, brethren and sisters, at those times in our lives, God has a word for us. And God had a word for Jehoshaphat. Now, I want you to notice two things about this message that brought assurance to Jehoshaphat's heart. First of all, I want you to notice his prayer to God. And then I want you to notice the promise from God. First of all, let's see the prayer to God. Now, Jehoshaphat may have not known what to do, but he did the first thing, and I want you to get this. He did the first thing that a person should do. He took the problem to the Lord in prayer. Look at verse 3. "And Jehoshaphat feared." Now look at these words. "And set himself to seek the Lord." I remember one night waking up during the night And often there are little post-its at the side of my bed, and my wife often asks, when she's tidying up, can I not get rid of those stickers all over the place? And I would often say, just let them stay till I'm finished with them. But one night I can remember thinking of it like this. Prayer should never be the last resort. Prayer should be the first response. You mark that. Prayer should be the first response. It should never be the last resort. And is it not so this morning, brethren and sisters, that too many times we only pray when we've exhausted all other possibility? We've tried everything else. We try to sort it. And then when our backs are against the wall, we cry unto God. I've often heard people say, preacher, we've done all we can. We've done all we can, and the only thing left to do is to pray. May I say to you this morning, in God's name, prayer is the first thing to do. He took it to the Lord in prayer. His prayer to God. Now notice with me the prayer of Jehoshaphat very quickly. When he prayed to God, he sought God appealing on the basis of two things. God's ability and God's availability. He appealed to God, first of all, on his ability. You can read verses 5 and 6. But as you read those, you'll notice that he comes to God because he knows God is able. You look at the verses, that he reigned in the heavens and ruled in the earth. A God of such power and might. Listen, no one could stand against him. That's what those verses are saying. And he's appealing to God because he says, God, listen, I'm seeking you, God, because I know you're able. I was reading this past week in the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, and I was reading verse 37, as the angel said to Mary, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. You take your problem to the Lord today because he's able. Friends will fail, but God's able. Then quickly, you'll notice that God was available to him. Verses 7 to 9, and I'll not read the verses, but Jehoshaphat reminds God of the promise that he made to Israel, that he would be there when they needed him. And when you read that portion and we understand Jehoshaphat's problem, you'll know that he needed them then. He needed them then. Jehoshaphat says, I need you now, God. Is that where you're at today, brother or sister in this service? Ach, nobody knows what's going on in your life and your heart. And the cry of your heart is for help. You say, preacher, I couldn't tell you about it. I can't tell my nearest and dearest, but I'm carrying an awful burden. You remember today God's able. God was available. You read the Psalms. I've been reading the Psalms this last while. You read Psalm 145 and the verse 18, it says, the Lord is nigh unto them that call upon him. Psalm 46 and the verse 1, God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Abraham Lincoln said this. He said, I've been driven to my knees many times by the overwhelming conviction I had nowhere else to go. Do you know God's able today? Do you know God's available? Are you at the place where you don't know what to do? Then think of Jehoshaphat, his prayer to God. But notice quickly his promise from God. Jehoshaphat gets a message, an assurance. He takes it to God. God gives him a promise. You look at verses 14 to verse 17, and we touched on those verses this morning. Jehoshaphat takes the problem to the Lord, and thus saith the Lord in verse 15, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. Now grasp it. The battle is not yours, but God's. When I read those words first, they made me want to think and to say, thank God, praise God. God's able. God's available. You know, you and I may not know what to do, but God says, I do. He says, the battle's not yours. It's the Lord's. And armed with the promise. You see, when we've got the promise, we can. Doesn't matter though the stars fall. We've got the promise from God. We must wait on God. I've often thought in situations in my life, and I'm sure it's in yours as well, often it's not us waiting on God. But often I feel God's waiting on us. When we're in the right place, where we're fully trusting in the place that you don't know what to do. Look at verse number 20. Because armed with the promises, armed with all the armor of God, it says in verse 20, and they rose up early in the morning. And Jehoshaphat stood and said, in the center of verse 20, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now look at these words. Believe in the Lord your God. You see, there are some times, my friend, when things happen in my life, things happen in your life, when they're out of our hands. Can you think of it today, the situation you find yourself in recent years? The situation you sit here today and you find yourself in today, or I find myself in? Nothing we can do will change it. And there's not one thing we can contrive to remedy the situation. And all we can do is trust God. Thank God, you know, when it's out of our hands, it's in God's hands. That's a lovely thought. We can rest that it's out and it's in God. Single missionary one time was having a farewell service. She was handed an envelope and said, if you ever get to the place where you've nowhere to turn, then missionary, you open the envelope. Years later, she returned from the mission field and she gave her testimony. And she told the people about the envelope. And she said, I never had to open that envelope. Because she says, I've always had the Lord. And I've handed my troubles to Him. Stirring faith, isn't it? I'm sure I thought, if it were me, how many times I'd be edging at the opening of that envelope. But she trusted God. She was surrendered all to Jesus. I surrender. And thirdly this morning, and this is the most thrilling part of the story. I know when I considered this some time ago, yes, we realized the trouble, the multitude alarming. Yes, there's a message, and God has a message, and I trust there's a message for your heart and mine today. But thirdly, I want you to notice the miracle that was affirming. There was a miracle took place here. Multitude, yes. Thank God for the message. But I want you to see the miracle. You see, what God did for Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and how He delivered him, is one of the most thrilling stories in the Bible. The resources of God's power, the reliability of God's promises are affirmed in a marvelous and miraculous way. Two things I want you to notice about this miracle. First of all, I want you to notice the directions that were given. You see, God gives directions. And often, you know, I'm sure you've heard it said, we sometimes have to put feet to our prayers. When God says go, we daren't hesitate. When there's a job to be done or there's a need to be met, that we must go and do it. Well, there's directions that were given here. You see, in the normal case, when the army's setting out to battle, so I'm told, I've not been in the army. I don't think I'd make it. I'd probably, when I'd hear the first gunfire, I'd probably be way home. But, you know, in this army here, you're told that basically when the army's getting ready for battle, the normal case is you commanded them to sharpen their swords. They would stockpile their arrows. They'd put on their armor. They'd kiss the wife and kids goodbye. And then you would gather around the commander and he would have a pep talk and he would say, you need to be brave, army. You need to fight as never before. But here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, what do we find? Instead of weapons, Jehoshaphat calls for worship. Instead of putting swords in their hands, he calls for songs in their heart. Instead of putting commandos on the front line, he calls for the choir. Now you say, that's all very good. Where did you make that up from? That sounds lovely. You look at verse 21 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now remember in verse 20, he says, believe in God. Trust God. Verse 21 says, and when he had consulted with the people, now you mark these words, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. And this is what they were to say. Praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. Now I want you to picture this army. Early in the morning, Jehoshaphat calls the people together and he asks the singers to come to the front line. I can tell you, the singers, and they're going out to meet the battle. Can you imagine an army of thousands coming up the Knock Road and Mr. Park saying, singers, up to the front. Humanly speaking, that's the one time when I wouldn't want to be singing. But imagine that happening, and that's the truth of Scripture. He says, when you begin to march towards the army, I want you to cut loose and I want you to sing glory down. Jehoshaphat called for the people to praise the Lord. You see, the battle wasn't theirs. It was the Lord who would go to work. That's what God wants you and I to do. When we've taken our problem to the Lord, and we've claimed the promises, he wants us to keep praising. Do you find it hard to keep smiling and singing when you come to church with the problem? Do I find it difficult to, I'm not going to the prayer meeting tonight because there's too much in the mind, but my heart's too heavy. And yes, we're human. But God says, keep praising. Keep praising. The answer's on its way. So he gives directions. There were directions that were given for this miracle. But lastly, there's the deliverance that was given. Verses 22 to 24, I have to say, if I had have been given a piece of blank sheet of A4, sat down in the class, and Margaret say there, with her good teaching knowledge, Margaret says, Rodney, I want you to sit and write the end of the story. I'd probably have written 10,000 killed, God's people damaged, set back, everything against them. I may have written that story. But I want you to notice here in these two verses. It says in verse 22, and when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, underline this, the Lord, not man here, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, which came against Judah. Where did we last read of them in verse 1 of the chapter, was it not? They're coming against God's people. They're fighting against them. And what does the Lord do? He makes the enemy fight among themselves. They start killing each other. They start fighting with one another. And I can imagine God saying to Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat, keep singing. Now sit there and watch this. You've never seen a situation like this. Leave this to me. And the enemies start killing each other. And you know what happens? They wipe themselves out. And God's people are delivered. Can you not see the picture of your life as an individual and mine? So what do you do when you don't know what to do? You keep praising the Lord. Don't let problems and circumstances rob you of your praise. Praise the Lord for what He has said. Praise the Lord for who He is. And don't pout about it. And don't shout about it. A wee verse that I just noticed this morning when I was in the minister's room. And I looked at verse 30 of the same chapter. I had not noticed this verse. But look at verse 30. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. Quietness, restfulness. Is that not the opposite picture of sometimes in your life and mine? We're restless. God gave Jehoshaphat quietness, restfulness. Let's face it this morning, brethren and sisters, it's easy to praise God on the mountain. When things are good, there are no problems to face. But you know what the Lord wants us to do? He wants us to praise Him on the battlefields of life. So you say, preacher, I've got the message, but what will praise do for me? You don't know the cloud, preacher, that's over my head. I don't believe the sun will shine again. What will praise do? You mark these two things down. It will take your eyes off your problems and put them on God. And praise will keep your focuses off what you cannot do and help you focus on what God is able to do. I'll repeat that. Praise will take your eyes off your problems and put them on God. And praise will keep your focuses off what you cannot do, and it'll help you focus on what God is able to do. I summarize it like this. You're in difficulty. You're in problem. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Have you really done that? Then you must trust Him. And He may well test you to see if you are. And then while you're waiting, keep praising. I believe that that's often where many fall. They take it to the Lord. They're trusting, but they do not keep praising while the answer is on its way. With this I close the words of this hymn that I thought of. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you cannot tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible, and He can do what no other can do. You're out of Christ today and you say, well, I have problems too, preacher, and I don't know where to turn to. Friends have failed me. I don't know. I can't tell anyone. Then you need to get your sins forgiven. You need to come to Christ. Because I'll tell you the greatest comfort for the believer. When I'm in trouble, I can close the door in my room or the closet and I can cry unto God. And I'll tell you this, God will not tell it round the corner. Your secret's safe with Him. And you trust Him. Who would have thought, humanly speaking, that was the end of that story? God can deliver you. If you're unsaved, get right with God today. Their fathers and mothers pray for their families, their sons and daughters, and they want you, Mommy, to be saved. Then today come. Come and speak with us.
He will show you from the Word of God, as we did this week with young people at the mission who were hungry for salvation. May God bless His Word to our hearts.